for this meeting today. I'll go ahead and get started. It's 5:30 and we have one agenda item tonight for tonight's Planning and Community Development Committee. My name is Cynthia Delstrinos Johnson. I'm the chair of this committee. I'm here with my fellow council members, Deshaun Quinn and Kathy Hogarty. And tonight we just have one agenda item, and it's a great one at that. We have Joseph here, who is going to give us an update on rental housing. Go ahead, take it away, Joseph. It says Nora, but I'm assuming.
Yep, Joseph. Joseph's here to give you the boots on the ground view.
Alrighty.
Awesome.
Can you guys see me well?
Yep.
Alrighty, just want to say it's great to be back. It's been a while. But yes, good evening, council members. My name is Joseph Wilson with the Code Enforcement and Rental Housing Team. And yeah, I just want to give a run through of what the rental housing program has been doing the past couple months. Just a run through of what our team member looks like since we do have a new addition. I'm the lead inspector. We have Lori Solberg, who is our admin. Who is our admin for rental housing, and we have Wally Snover. He's the new addition to the team. Very grateful to have him aboard, especially when inspections picking up. So he'll be the second inspector to the team. So just jumping into the program itself, you know, the mission has never changed. We still strive, you know, for the public health and safety and welfare for our community. By doing so, we conduct rental inspections, making sure that the units have the proper maintenance and just the safety of living, and the property owners are just aware of what the city stands with the rental housing. So we continue to strive for that. If you scroll, look to the bottom of your memorandum, just the breakdown of how the fee is structured with the rental business license. No change this year, at least for the last couple months. With the four units, we're still doing 77. As far as for inspection, city inspectors inspect only four units still. Anything other than four units will have a private inspector take a look at those units. And I know in the next couple months, we're talking about increasing our units for the city inspectors, so up to 12 units. So just keep us a little busy. I mean, this would also, you know, help out with our, increase our revenue, he would say. So just looking out for that for the incoming months.
So when we bring the fee resolution to you, we'll have some options about if we want to change some things around and potentially increase our cost recovery.
So yeah, I mentioned about the inspections. Just wanted to highlight some, I guess, some challenges that, you know, us inspectors and in the rental housing program faces. Just dealing with, I guess, doing the right thing for the property owners. Property owners, you know, we'll find some cases where you'll have to do some more tracking down to figure out, hey, you're renting a unit and we know about it, but you're not going through with the city's, you know, route. So as of now, we have 15 open code enforcement cases, whether some units are past due with inspections, some units just need to renew their rental license. So it's an ongoing thing, you know, not every property owner have their own situation. So in some cases, they'll try to get by, I guess, without the city's aware of renting a unit. So two highlights that we wanted to bring up, in this case, are apartment complexes. Both were reported by the fire department, one being Hampton Heights and the other 42 Avenue Apartments. So with Hampton Heights, on June 29th, code enforcement received an email and phone call from the fire department about a complaint from a tenant of a backup overflow sewage flood. And This was a situation where a tenant was pretty much living in sewage, where a bunch of the stuff was coming out of their, you know, through the walls. We have some photos of, you know, through the sinks in both the kitchen and the bathrooms. We were able to report to the scene the next day. And yeah, I've got to talk to with some of the tenants living there, not just the where the complaint was received, but a few other tenants. You know, they were really open to getting their case and just be heard. So with that, we received some consent from the tenants to conduct courtesy inspections. Now these, we were able to do four inspections, two in two different units, two in two different buildings. And with that, all four failed. With these reports, it helped us as far as for building, you know, enough evidence to show the property owner once we send a letter, email, like, hey, this is what we found. You know, there, are you aware of the situation? And what is your plan of action? So that message was sent out, you know, not too long after, in July, I believe, yeah. So we gave the owner till August 19th to respond. You know, luckily, late last week, I did receive a response from the property owner. He was aware. He actually mentioned he's been out to the property and inspected, and he's willing to work forward and, you know, trying to resolve some of these issues. So I guess the biggest thing for, I guess, the city is just to stay on top of this. You know, there's a lot of saying, but actions need to be done, especially in this type of situation for these tenants. When we were out there, you know, it's, we've noticed it's been like this for months, you know. They've mentioned they've tried to get a hold of management and whatnot. So now that we are in the loop, biggest thing is just to stay on top of it. And that's what we plan on doing from here on forth. Moving forward with Fortitude Apartments. In this situation, we've got a report from the fire department of about a leak of 20,000 gallons of water in the crawl space. And this was definitely hit our radar being an apartment complex. So very thankful for the fire department, Tukwila Fire Department, you know, reporting on site and shutting off the water. The next morning, we were able to talk to the plumbers and the management on site, and they were very compliant and trying to find a solution to, one, not pump, only pumping the water, but also, you know, making sure that the tenants living there have access to water and nothing is, you know, interfering with their livelihood. So been working hand-in-hand with the management with that. As of last week, I did visit the property and all the water has been pumped out. So the repairs for any leaks has been repaired. And as of now, this is just one of those cases where you want to stay on top of as well. So I plan on staying in contact with the property owner and, hey, how's it looking? Is there any issues? You know, and with that, our team discussed about handing out placard, you know, information, rental housing cards, just saying, hey, the city's here for your help. You know, if you have any issues that you want to bring up, we're welcoming courtesy inspections and, you know, open to that for any tenants having any issues. Yeah. And again, you know, we'll run into some families who are, you know, non-speaking or, you know, or may have troubles in that, you know, understanding what their rights are. So, you know, a lot of these inspections that we do, they're totally unaware, you know, what their rights are. So I think the bigger part of that program is just communicating that with the tenants and, or even the landlords, you know, or the property owners. But yeah, these were two big highlights. Definitely wanted to address and, you know, bring up, but every day is different. We continue to get, you know, different calls from tenants or, you know, property owners, but it's an ongoing thing. And yeah, glad to talk about that with amongst you all.
But, thank you. Yeah. I'll go to my council members and see if they have any questions. Kathy, do you have any questions? for Joseph?
I don't have any questions about the two properties. It's good to know that they want to work with you and that these problems will get resolved. That's great. I did have a question about the inspections about staff inspecting up to 12 units. And it was said for greater revenue recovery. Is that the only reason that the inspectors would be inspecting up to 12 units? And I was wondering if so, what does that do as far as taking away from other work that the rental inspection people or that code enforcement is doing in general? Maybe we need to help out in some other way. I have a question.
Yeah, we had a couple different thoughts. I mean, one is looking around at, in some cases, we're less expensive than private inspectors, and so offering that opportunity to more of our landlords. We know some people, especially the small landlords, have had a tough time. And the other thing is actually just kind of getting some boots on the ground in some of these complexes that we may not otherwise. So, you know, we didn't say 200 unit complexes because I think that's really beyond our capabilities, but maybe expanding it upwards a little. And they always have the option legally to use their own inspector. But we thought this might be a good balance, especially coming out of COVID where it's been an extended period of time, but having a little more, you know, eyes on the situation, it would help us maybe bring in some more revenue and get a little, change the balance a little on cost recovery. And then also potentially be a savings for some of the small. And so we were thinking of maybe a different fee structure. A lot of the private inspectors, the first one or two are more expensive. And then if you add more units, it's cheaper because they don't have to drive there and set up. So maybe changing our fee structure a little bit to work better for some of these slightly larger complexes. We're going to bring that to you.
That reminds me of something. In the past, I know you've given us a chart of how many house rentals that we have that are houses. So that would be the city doing those, as opposed to apartment units. Do you know, like, just roughly, or would you have to get that information?
It would be pretty easy to pull.
Yeah. I'd be interested in just getting an email with that. I know that's probably changing. So it might be good to update that information for all of us and know how many houses are being rented and how many are apartments. And that's all I have. Thank you.
I can pull that.
Councilmember Quinn.
So when Joseph, good job on your presentation. I'm supportive. Well, let me just start by saying that seeing these pictures and hearing this example is exactly why we've done this. And I go back to when we initiated it to see the decay, the lack of urgency that some of our apartment owners had with some of those properties. And it was more, I mean, again, it's for public health and safety. And so I'm very supportive. And there's a couple things in this report where kind of talking about boots on the ground, which I'm supportive of. I think when we talk about the fee structure, again, knowing that we're cheaper, but also knowing that we've kind of given a grace period over the 2 years, I wonder in consideration of that coming forward is, we don't account for inflation, but we can when it comes to fees.
Right.
And so between the administrative components of delaying and still keeping track of the folks, also just looking at should we raise it a bit, and maybe it's in support of getting at that backlog, and potentially if there's extra, then you can put that into funds for the non-city inspectors if, you know, you can't necessarily accomplish the backlog. And then some of the adjustments that were talked about here, I just want to make sure that the egregious folks that have had that grace period, but yet still need to pay.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a piece where, and I've been very happy around your team's approach on keeping the communication up.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're communicating, we can get to that point, because we don't want to cut off communication and then nobody follows up and gets their business license. So if you apply that approach, I think that that's good. And at the same time, they benefited from a great period. And then the other thing about COVID is sometimes when you take people's eyes off of things, unfortunately, some of the bad tendencies come back. And the whole point is to make sure that this doesn't happen, right? Because you're impacting kids, and there's a whole bunch of studies about contaminants and mold, and even our high spasm rates in Tukwila makes it that we have to be very diligent in this process. Let's see. The handout, I'm just wondering if, you know, if there's an opportunity for some of the events,
mm-hmm.
See in the park,
mm-hmm.
events, where everybody comes and it isn't maybe that situation where folks are, you know, I mean, even that out against crime, if you're handing it out, people are very probably suspicious, mm-hmm. property owners, not saying that they're all this way, because so far they've been very responsive, but just places where folks can feel comfortable to receive this information. But that's kind of all I had, other than that open question about what's being proposed. I mean, there's no action, but we kind of talked about the plan to allow a grace period. But also, you know, the goal is to really address this backlog. And so just kind of having those two things go hand in hand, and maybe even a modest increase,
mm-hmm.
in a time when we're going to delay it a little longer. But yeah, it's always easier versus if we're out there and we have it now, and maybe it is, you get, you know, kind of a benefit for kind of the delay. And but if you respond, then you get the old rate, because you haven't come in and got your license. So just something as creative as that. Those are my kind of questions and comments.
I think that this is a really important program. I really appreciate the work that the group is doing on this program. It's really great to get this update. I really like the idea of like having the little cards about the courtesy inspection, because I was surprised that the referrals were from the fire department, which to me signals that, you know, it wasn't until there was an emergency that you really got notice. And how long had this been happening? You know, like, this is exactly why we have a program like this. And I like the approach, which is, you know, we're on top of it now. We can't lose sight of continuing to do these inspections. So I'm just really thankful to those of you to Joseph, to Nora, to all those who are run this program, but also those who created it. An additional point, in addition to the information that Councilmember Hogarty was interested in, I was wondering if we could also grab the data point about how many people are living in rental housing in Tukwila, because I remember at one point there were more people in Tukwila residents living in rental housing in our city than there are people, you know, not. So I would be interested in knowing whether that's true still or not true. Because it just, you know, it just shows the importance of a program like this, which I believe is, it's another resource for our residents to have this protection in place. So I'm in favor of the courtesy inspection communications, like getting it out there that we offer this so that it's not just through the fire department that people are like that you get notified, Joseph. I'm hoping people come to you when they don't know whether there's a, like whether there's an important issue or not, because frankly, like these are legal issues to not to live in a place that's not habitable.
If I could offer that, I mean, having worked for wastewater, when you have an overflow, depending on who owns the system, it's reported. And most of the time, public entities have an obligation to come in and they contract for cleanup, but the owners need to agree to it. And so I'd be curious because whether it's, it'd be kind of good to know if the sewer district here or if it was the county, either way, there's a process and then engaging with the owners, making sure that they've actually followed through with that process. I think a water leak is a different thing, but a sewage backup is, and an overflow like that one's coming out of the sink and the toilet, that's a system-related issue which would light up their notifications, and then there's a process where they come in with CertPro and they come in and they sanitize things and then, you know, sometimes discard things, but it, the owners have to participate.
And I would be in favor of, you know, looking at the fees and increasing them. I mean, like Councilmember Quinn said, we're all dealing with the effects of inflation, and I mean, this is an important program to continue. So I'd be in favor of the proposal that you are, that you had mentioned, Nora. Let me see if I had any other questions. How do new landlords find out about the inspection? Like how does one, if, you know, say I was going to start renting my house, like how would I know of this requirement? How do I become aware of it?
It's, I know usually, well, all the information is posted on our site and it's usually, it's word of mouth, and a lot of the owners, you know, are familiar with it, whether they're new owners. Neighboring is, we'll get a lot of calls, and surprisingly they're, you know, they understand the process. They'll maybe ask a question, how do I walk through the steps, you know? But for the most part, the calls that we get and they're understanding, hey, what do I need to get done? You know, they've seen the website. Other than that, you know, we deal with a lot of the history of previous owners, and so they're already aware of how the process works. But, yeah.
Okay.
I have a question and a comment to a little time.
Yeah.
So, Joseph, if the property changes hands, is there any, like anything, are you aware of that? So that could send out a mailer, you could send out a letter or something?
Yes. So we have usually when we see a change of property through the King County parcel, we'll also send out a get a license letter. We call it a GAL. It's just pretty much just a heads up. Hey, if you're planning on renting out this property, here's the steps and process, what you need to do. And usually they'll come back and, no, we don't plan on renting it out. And, you know, or whether they will, then we'll go through the process with that. But yeah, we have a system where it's called a GAL.
Mm-hmm. So since we've got a minute or we're good on time, since this program started, I am now a landlord. My sister and I inherited a duplex in another city. And so we're like absentee landlords. And also my mom had purchased, so the property got a little dilapidated. And so, but it's really hard for us to go into that situation or just go in there and inspect. So just from a landlord's perspective, I think it's great. That would be wonderful if this city, it's Springfield, Oregon, if they had that, because then they could go in and let us know what needs to get fixed, right? So there's, I think that with some of your landlords, they probably really appreciate this, because then they know what is in it that needs to be fixed, especially if you have a renter that's been in there for years and years and you haven't turned over the property. And then speaking towards the fee, the inspection fee, for all the expenses you have, $77 could go up to $100 and really wouldn't really make a lot of difference. I suppose it would if you had like 100 or something units, but really it's worth it to have that inspection fee, I think. And but also you're absolutely right about small landlords of small properties. We are not making any money on that property. We have to sink all the money back into it because it's a property that's got a lot of it's got a lot of problems with it right now because it wasn't kept up. But we are holding an asset, right? That's what I keep telling my sister. We are holding on to an asset that is an appreciating asset. And so that is the point. That's the part that you have to remember. So now looking at from that thing, it's like, yeah, you can raise the fees. I think that's good. Rental inspection, there's going to be people with the attitude that this is really a good thing, that are landlords that are going to be appreciative of it. I don't know if you've heard anything like that, but
oh, yeah.
Hopefully. So anyway, so now I've got now I've looked at it from that side. I've been a renter and I've got property. And so, yes, and thank you for everything you're doing. I really appreciate the fact the city has that program. I know that not all cities are able to have that program at this point. Or are they, Nora? Is that something that other cities can have now? Because we sort of went in under the wire at a certain point, Cynthia, as far as getting the program.
So we talked to a couple other cities that are interested in doing it, but it's still just a handful of cities that are. And I really feel like it fills a gap between tenants who, they do have a fair number of rights, but many of them don't know it or they don't feel empowered to bring things up with their landlords. And so having another advocate on their behalf, I think, is really pretty powerful.
I agree.
Well, I also think it creates a sense of belonging in the community that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even, you know, you're a renter and we care about you, right. Because you live here.
All right. Since we were pretty quick, do you mind if I give you a brief update on another topic or a recurring topic?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess, are we?
Yeah. Thank you, Joseph. Sorry. Okay. Now we're transitioning.
Right. So back in April, we had briefed you on the Royal Auto situation, which was it's a couple small buildings that is engaged in auto repair right across from Homeland Security. So they're kind of at the bottom of a slope. And they had cut down a bunch of trees a couple of years ago, and we were starting to see some slumping in that really wet spring we had.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, you know, we thought we were getting somewhere, and we thought they were making some progress with the geotech, and they haven't done anything about that. In the meantime, they've been having some problems with their fire alarm, and it keeps kind of pinging the fire department. So the fire department came and had a look and found a lot of life safety violations in terms of what's going on, especially in the southernmost building on that site. They are repairing cars, they're repainting, they've got a lot of hazardous chemicals in there. And so it's a combination of a really deteriorating building as this hillside is kind of buckling the building itself, a spray booth that hasn't been maintained and is not functioning, and so isn't a healthy environment for those workers, and also potentially like an explosion hazard with, you know, these mists going out.
Mm-hmm.
And the property owner is sort of denying, but he's letting people, and they may be his employees, I'm not sure, sleep in the office, and there's kind of a non-conforming apartment above this building with all of these chemicals in it. And, you know, we felt like we've really tried to work with the owner. We've been in communication. He does have an attorney that we've been talking to. He's shown no interest in fixing any of these situations. And we'd actually condemned the building back in April because of we're concerned about it being at this toe of the slope and potentially being in the path of the slide. With the additional issues around the spray booth and the chemicals, fire is just saying it's not a safe place for employees. It's especially not safe if someone's sleeping upstairs and isn't able to get out of that building should something happen. So we're planning on re-placarding, putting up notices to the tenants that they're eligible for relocation assistance, which, because we're condemning the building, they are. And evacuating the buildings and boarding them up sometime this week, probably Friday. You know, I know it's a pretty extreme thing to do, but we're also really concerned that a terrible thing could happen there, and we don't want to let it linger on. We gave a heads up to the owner last week. I don't have any indication that he's taking any action to address these things. But we did want to give him some time to, you know, get his records out, whoever's cars are in that building, to get them out. And, you know, he can still continue to do some of the auto repair in the northern building, but he's just not operating a business in a way that's safe for anyone. I know he's a small business owner, and that's a challenge, and we really do try and work with people to the extent that we can. But again, looking at it, we're the people stepping into the gap to protect the life safety of these situations. So we wanted to let you know as a follow-up, we'll also prepare kind of a timeline of the situation and the severity of the things that we found. I don't know whether he might reach out to you or not, but I think it would be good for the council to have some background on that's not something we do lightly. It's not something we rushed into, but we just don't feel like we have another choice at this point.
Thank you. Kathy or Deshaun, do you guys have any questions for Nora?
No. I mean, we're talking about the fire department. We're talking about chemicals. We're talking about people sleeping. Talking about us spraying a pre-existing condition, and fall is coming. So,
right.
No, I mean, if the geotech issues are worse, I'm scared for the fall rain season.
A perfect storm. Okay, so I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to get your heads up. I'll work with Laurel on the way to.
Just the location again. Is it at the right adjacent to the homeland?
So it's across TIB. It's actually just south of Greg Sherlock's property.
And just north of the INS.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Or just south.
So it's a busy little spot there.
So,
okay. All right. Is there anything else for the good of the order? All right. Thank you.